This is Vision for Christ World, Toledo, Ohio, USA. My name is Tim Taylor. Have you heard of the Great Commission? For those who have not, let me start with the definition from the dictionary of commission. A commission is an instruction, command, or duty given to a person or a group of people. A group of people officially charged with a particular function. Jesus Christ gave his commission to his disciples, and by extension, to all Christians who would ever live. Matthew 28:18-20 says, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to keep all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" These were the ultimate and final marching orders that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, gave to Christians as a standing general order, from then and forward in time to today. It is still very much in force. Here at Vision for Christ World, we take this command very seriously, yet with thrilling joy behind every word we speak, to further the good news of the gospel message. If you are not a Christian believer, this program will help to explain why Christians are telling everyone about the wonderful benefits of being a Christian and being a true child of God. I have been told by skeptics to just leave people alone, to not tell them about Jesus, and just let people go their own way. To that I say, if you saw someone about to step off from a high cliff to fall to their death, you would shout and warn them to save their life, correct? Well, every day thousands of people die and fall off that cliff, spiritually, into a horrible, godless eternity in hell, because they did not hear that there was a better way, the way of Christ and salvation through his gospel. There is a strong urgency to what I do on this broadcast. I am not here to scare people into believing in Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit of God who draws people to Jesus. That is one of his functions. My job is to be one of the mouthpieces to present the gospel as the best alternative in life. I do this broadcast as an act of love. No one should go to hell. It is totally unnecessary and completely avoidable. Father God, let me show everyone who you really are and reveal your only Son, Jesus Christ, to those who are listening. Praying in the name of Jesus, amen. Our website address is visionforchristworld.com. Here is the story of the resurrection of Jesus from the Gospel book of Matthew in the Bible. As the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and told the leading priests what had happened. A meeting with the elders was called, and they decided to give the soldiers a large bribe. They told the soldiers, "You must say the disciples of Jesus came during the night while we were sleeping, and they stole his body. If the governor hears about it, well, we'll stand up for you so that you will not get into trouble." So the guards accepted the bribe and said what they were told to say. Their story spread widely among the Jews, and they still tell it today. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And this is why we are on a mission now. Christians like me are still following the last instructions of our Lord and Master, to make disciples by telling them the gospel story so that they have the knowledge to believe and be saved. Now we turn to the Gospel book of John, chapter 20, in selected portions. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the body of the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter. And reaching the tomb first, he stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered the head of Jesus was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, they still had not understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angel asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I do not know where they have put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she did not recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. "Do not cling to me," Jesus said, "for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go and find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." And she gave them his message. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas replied, "I will not believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands and put my fingers into them and place my hand into the wound in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into my wound in my side. Do not be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. And Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. Now, I do not want anyone to have any doubts about what a true believing Christian is saved from. In this life, you are saved from a pointless, purposeless existence. As a real Christian, you will know that you have this great commission directly from the lips of Jesus Christ to tell the world of eternal life through Jesus. in the next life, you will have the incomparable joys of heaven forever and ever, with wonderful fellowship with Christians from all the ages, and of course, sweet, close fellowship with God, the Father, and Jesus, His only Son. Also, quite importantly, you will be saved from an eternity in hell. Hell will have no friendships, no fellowship, no comfort. It will not even have the debauched pleasures that the ungodly enjoy so much when they sin now in this life. There will be no pleasure in hell, not of any kind or degree. There will be no wild parties, only isolated, lonely torment day and night forever and ever. Fire that never goes out. Revelation chapter 20 in part reads like this. The devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet are too, and they will be tormented there day and night forever and ever. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death, and anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. But Revelation chapter 7 gives us a short description of life in heaven. They are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And the one seated on the throne will spread His tabernacle over them. Never again will they hunger, and never will they thirst. Nor will the sun beat down upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Now let me pray for you. Father God, in the name of your one and only unique Son, Jesus Christ, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to touch the heart and mind of every person listening to me right now. Cause them to desire to have their sins taken away, to pray and ask to be granted repentance that leads to life by God, and to repent of their sins, truly turning away from sin, to have that penalty for sin removed, so that through the faith you give them, they may believe in you, Jesus, and have eternal, never-ending life, starting today, by having personal, saving faith in you, Lord Jesus. Amen. You may contact us through our website at visionforchristworld.com/contact. Until the next broadcast, this is Tim Taylor praying the great blessings of God with joy and peace upon your life as you embrace Jesus Christ in personal saving faith. I will leave you today with this text from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and unspoiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by His power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love Him even though you have never seen Him. Though you do not see Him now, you trust Him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting Him will be the salvation of your souls.